IP. IP.
IP.
IP.
IP.
IP.
IP.
IP.
IP.
Welcome to IP Series, home to all things IP related, where I give you the stories, tips, and implications to business and creative decision concerning your intangible assets with real life case study. I am your host, Rita Anwori Chinda. Subscribe and turn on your notification so you don't miss an episode. Cheers, guys.
As a creative or a business person or an innovator or an inventor, if you still don't know how important or why it's important for you to know the value of your IP, just they play. If you don't know what they play means, ask a Nigerian and they will tell you. But these are some of the issues that we'll try to answer in this episode with the help of an expert in the field of IP valuation. And you come to also realize that IP valuation can be used for various purposes such as licensing, sale of an IP, financing, trying to get funding, litigation, taxation, and strategic management. Now we will delve into the types of IP asset and the methods, challenges, etc. So if you are interested in learning more about IP valuation, I don't want to explain and explain and explain with no evidence. Stay tuned for this episode of IP Series. And don't forget to subscribe to my podcast, rate it, and leave me a comment. I would love to hear from all my IP friends. So let's dive into today's conversation.
So you are welcome to IP Series. Please kindly introduce yourself and tell us your name, what you do, and if possible, where you are based.
Okay. My name is, thank you for the invite. I must appreciate your efforts on IP. At least I've been following you for some time and I know the quality and what you have been doing in this space. I really appreciate you. Thank you very much. My name is Olalekan Akinwunmi. I'm an SA surveyor and valuer with a specialty in IP valuation. And I'm currently the chairman of Business Asset and Intellectual Property Valuation Professional Association of Nigeria Institute of SA Surveyors and Valuer of Nigeria. Okay. And then I coordinate that. We have been on it for the past 8 years now. That we have been working assiduously on that, just to make sure that the valuation aspect of intangible assets is accommodated in the company financial statements. And I have my own family, Kakumi and Co., and I'm based in Lagos.
Fantastic.
Nigeria, so West Africa.
Fantastic. I think one very interesting thing I took from this introduction is that you are not a lawyer, correct?
No, I'm not a lawyer. I'm an SA surveyor and valuer, registered SA surveyor and valuer. And
nice.
I have bias for IP valuation. And I've got trained with WIPO since 2020. Up to date, I've been doing WIPO training. This series, about 5 or 7 of them that we have done in the past.
Wow, very, really, really impressive. Let's get into our conversation for today because I think we have a lot to discuss. So, first off, is what are the main types and category of intellectual property assets?
Yeah, thank you very much. The intellectual property is the statutory coverage area of intangible assets. Intangible assets is wide, and so that one is extracted out of that, the intangible assets. So we have the copyrights, we have patents, we have a trademark, we have trade secrets, And the other one that I would also like to join to it is GI, Geological Geographical Indication, which I believe is very, very important to some products in Nigeria that we really need to look at. So these are the main, and then the categories are there. We have the registered and unregistered. You know, some are, we have a lot of them that are not registered. And there is only few that are registered.
Yeah. So I think there's a lot of interesting things you keep coming up with. And I think the last thing you mentioned, I talk including GI as a category of IPS, especially in a jurisdiction that we do not have a law and there's little knowledge about this type of IP, which I classify as an uncommon type of IP, not just for Nigeria or within Africa as a whole. So how do all of these IP assets contribute to the competitive advantage and profitability of a company?
Yes, let me take it that they are the soul of a company.
Okay.
You know, the IP is the one that you generate into products, the physical, that people can see. Without the IP, there won't be any product. Every product you see, they are embedded with all these IPs mentioned. So invariably, either they are using it as a direct production or indirect production. What I mean by indirect production is that if you decide to commercialize it, maybe you decide to license it or you decide to give away a franchise or outright sales, then, you know, all these still borders on the cash flow that will still come back to the company. So they help you to increase your financial base. And also there's an aspect of it, like the trademark now make people to know you in the marketplace. So they are very, very germane in any company. And unfortunately, you know, in Nigeria, we play down on all this, and that makes companies to be undervalued. And at the end of the day, you just discover that a smart investor will buy over the company and make good use of all this IP that we are mentioning. So by the time you turn it around and make it something, then you'll be looking at, why did I sell this at this also rate? IP is the soul of any business, and any products or services that you are rendering was first of all in the form of IP, and it formed, you know, the ideas now was now translated into tangible form that people can see or buy. You know, the copyright, you know, also translates to what we call the patents to trademark, the trademark to industrial design, and also we also have the trademark. And all these joined together, they can be used independently by the owner or by the company. The company can also commercialize it by way of licensing it to another person for a period of time, or a kind of franchise if it is a product that needs to be franchised, or outright sales. So at the end of the day, the cash flow of that company will definitely improve. And by so doing, it's not affecting the primary operation of that company. But you are using the IP as a vehicle to deliver your services. Because service is like you are solving problem to somebody. And then these are the vehicle that you are using to solve the problem. So when you are solving problems to a group of people, definitely they pay back. And that payback will definitely affect your bottom line. So at the end of the day, IP is the engine or the soul of that particular business.
Wow, very, very insightful. What would you now say are like the common approach and techniques for valuing IP assets and helping someone to determine the soul of their company based on your previous answer?
Basically, there are three recommended, or let me say, recommended approach, which even okay. International Valuation Standard, called International Valuation Standard 210, recommended. And that the cost approach, income approach, and market approach. And this standard was also domesticated in Nigeria by Essence of Wealth and Valuer Registration Board of Nigeria since 2017. And the update was done last year, 2022. And this cost okay. approach is always the last resort. You know, why is the last resort? Is that when you don't have any other means of comparable or data to use, then you now have to sit down and begin to look at what is the cost of even building that particular IP initially. And then, you know, look at the innovation, the originality of it. And then you are looking at how can we replace or reproduce. It is the cost that you are able to build that gives you the idea of the value that you ascribe if you are using a cost method. Then the income method, you are looking at, okay, for example, like I mentioned, the commercialization. If it's an IP that was commercialized, then you are looking at what cash flow that has happened, the transaction that has happened during the time, and you are using that one to value that particular IP, capitalize it, taking care of the risk, you know, the market risk, and then the environmental risk, you know, managerial risk and everything, putting them in together, and then have your capitalization rates to be able to have that. And then, you know, under it, we have a SS earning relief from a royalty and grain feed. You know, it depends on what particular, because the purpose also will determine the kind of approach that we are going to use. The market approach is the third one. That is the functionality of the market. Unfortunately, you know, IP is always unique. So it's not something that you can just find on the street like that. So the data for it, and then you look at the similarity. If you are talking about, for example, in the software world, now you look at it, okay, this particular software can do this, and then what similarities do we have somewhere, and you do the comparison. That is when you can know that. But, you know, the reliability of that in the marketplace is also lean because they are always unique in their own way. That's it. That's a different, you know, of the approaches that you have to adopt.
So what would you now say are the advantages? Thank you. The advantages and disadvantages of each valuation method.
One of them, they have their advantages and disadvantages. The cost method is good for statutory valuation. You know what I mean by statutory valuation is that all the litigation for tax purposes and then the damages for infringement and all the rest like that. So they are good for that, but they are not looking at the future of that particular IP. It's not it's only taking care of what is happening now. It's not looking at what will come after. And, you know, the future of a particular product is very, very germane. So that makes a cost method to be, you know, a little bit relegated. Then income is good when we have good data of generated incomes. And then you have your data, the financial books of the company is up to date. If it's not up to date, then there will be a problem. So the availability of a good financial book also helps you to be able to determine what income you have and then how you can do your capitalization. But, you know, it's also limited because some people too, they will not want to expose their books totally to you. They will only want you to see some others. And by so doing, you will not be able to capture all their activities. And that will limit what you are doing. And by the time you say you want to value and the client or the company is not open, then there will be an issue. That will affect your valuation. It may make your valuation to be on, to turn out to be a little bit below what they are, because you are not seeing their true picture. The true color is not showing, and then it makes it very difficult. And then the market is only good at when there is a kind of open transaction. If there's open transaction, if everything is made open as a hand-lent transaction, then people will be able to see it. And then we'll be able to adopt adequate measure to it. But in a situation where we talk about the nature of IP to be unique on its own. So it is something that must be unique. And then the disadvantage of that is that you can't have a good comparison. You can't have a good comparison in that regard. So that those are the limitation that they have.
So how do you then account for the uncertainty and volatility of IP assets in terms of IP infringement, litigation, and kind of right or when you public domain?
Okay, valuation is an art and science, and then with the data available to you, after you gather your data and then you begin to analyze it, it is from that analysis that you know the type of uncertainty that can occur. You pick them one by one. If it's one that is very vulnerable to infringement, you know that they are not protected. If it's not protected, the risk rate that you'll be looking at be very high, because you have to put all those on. And if it is expiration or like I mentioned the other time, that the cost is used for statutory valuation, which litigation is one of the litigation, you look at it, what are they looking at? You have to embed it in it and focus on what you have on the table. And then you state it, you make it clear so that everybody will know why you are adopting this rate for this particular. No, it has to do with the purpose, because the purpose, this, the mentioning of this one is for the purpose. So the purpose of it now, talk about obsolescence. The obsolescence you are talking, is it total, is it economic obsolescence, is it physical obsolescence? So obsolescence too has dimension. So you have to analyze it and then pick a rate that you know that will have accommodated all these unforeseen circumstances in your valuation.
Okay. So we know that in IP, we always talk about, now we're looking at it from, how did they do or conduct a due diligence process to assess the quality and validity of the target company's IP asset, and how are you then able to identify any potential liabilities that the company may have?
IP is a space that is multidisciplinary, and because of that, there are some area that IP lawyers can collaborate with valuer, then with accountants. But what we are discussing now, all this report will be used, the end report will be used by the accountant. In the area of due diligence, after auditing the company and ascertaining the numbers of IP that is available in their company, then the due diligence will be carried out by an IP lawyer, because there are some statements, there are some acts that need kind of statutory touches that need to be well explained. For example, if you assume that a particular company has a whole right, 100% right on a particular IP, whereas statutorily they just have maybe 40% or 60%. If you value it on 100%, you'll be overvaluing that particular IP. That is why the report of the IP lawyer on due diligence we assist the valuer on how to carry out the valuation. We understand it, but that aspect is best handled by an IP lawyer, and that makes the three professions to handshake one another. So, you know, in order not to create a kind of a mirage for the company, it's better that the due diligence is carried out by an IP lawyer, which makes it more better and then more reliable.
Nice.
Because yes.
I'm happy that you finally mentioned that you need an IP lawyer for this. So thank you. Thank you for emphasizing on that.
You know, I've done the training, so I know what it is. You must know your boundary and then
Buy it. Yeah. Thank you. So, then go ahead to negotiate and structure a fair deal that might value of the IP asset and also protect the interest and rights of both parties. I think you find this sometimes in IP litigation district where people are quoting very outrageous sum, which to them they feel that's the value of their IP.
That is value. Yes, I do laugh at times because I did a research on that. Effect of IP valuation on claims. I did it as a research work for that. And I discovered that, you know, people just quote figures. Let me say figures. Mm. They've quote figures, but they cannot substantiate it. And, you know, my work then is targeting on the judiciary that when a case is before them for about 7 years, and at the end of the day, somebody that is asking for 500 million, they are now giving him 500,000.
Yeah,
you know, it's so ridiculous.
Right.
And, yeah, and there's a case. If you look at the Oyinkawinu and
I was going to mention that case where you finished, because I recall that I did a review about it when Jason Njoku, the founder, the co-founder of He was trying to throw a shade at her, like, you go to court, ask for lots of million, end up with 500,000. I'm like, a win is a win at the end of the day. You finally sharp paid and knew that what you were doing was wrong.
Yes.
You know?
You know, the jury, they need assistance. And if both parties, I have to put some rights up that, look, it's better for you to even do the valuation of your IP before you throw it into the market. And even the person that wants to infringe on it or pirate it, when he knows that your IP worth so millions of naira, he will consider either to go into the criminality or not to go into the criminality. So if parties
that is, if they do the IP
the value of, yes, if they do the due diligence and they have the valuation, you know, it's not cast in stone. Mm-hmm. You can do your valuation this year, and then, you know, in the space of another year or 2 years interval, you can do it again so that you'll be able to check if there are infringement on your IP, you know what to quote. And that saves you the problem of, you know, guess. Well, at times the jury will look at it that the amount you are quoting, you can't substantiate it. There's no evidence to say that is the how did we get to this particular figure. So it's good.
Let's let that
negotiation.
I said it's been tired.
So it's always good that parties have a very clear understanding of the value of their IP before they go into negotiation, and that one will give them a good fairing structure. For example, if you are valuing an IP, you are sourcing for investor, the valuation will be done in the view of the investor. It is not in your own view, because you are looking at it that can somebody, you know, uptake this, can somebody buy this, can somebody invest in this, and then you have to put their interest, because that is the way they will be viewing it. So that is how devaluation is carried out. And so both parties, it's good for both parties to have independent valuation of the IP before they go into negotiation.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing insight on that. I think I need to come to you now to find out the value of IP series so that just in case of anything, I know that I'll be smiling home happy. I'll be going home happy, you know. But then, what are some of the common IP, what are the common IP valuation mistakes that you've seen colleagues in the industry do, or you guys may have used it as a case study to be able to create awareness within the community?
Yeah, the common one is the identification of the IP itself.
Interesting.
People doesn't understand how it works. And that is why the training and retraining is very important. You must understand how it works. To the cradle. You understand the process. If you don't understand the process of an IP, you can't value it adequately. That's why you go extra mile, you go down. Then, for example, if you are talking about software now, so that means you have to engage, you know, a software engineer, you get their mindset, you know, before you can say, okay, this is the way you can carry out this particular valuation. And then data, they are very important. The availability of data. And it's not something that you just say, okay, let me just do it in just one day. The valuation of IP is not something you do in a jiffy. You must research and consult. You look at the market where that particular IP operates and see the similarity that you can compare with it. So most times the mistake is that area of that data interpretation. So it's very key for us. And then we do training, you know, often in that regard for us to be able to be abreast of it.
Okay. So I'm going to indicate first, I'm interested in the training so that I'm abreast with international best standard and what is currently happening in Nigeria. No, knowledge is a waste, you know. You never know.
No. Yes. Especially when it comes to IP, there's no knowledge that is waste. You have to
get
that interest and get yourself.
So, what is the difference between cost and income methods of IP valuation? I think maybe you hinted about that in your introduction.
I hinted about that when I was talking about the approaches. Yes, cost, as the name implies. That is, you are looking at the cost of what you use to produce. And then you are looking at, okay, if this want to produce the same thing, how much is it going to cost us? So that is the principle behind that. And then the is not looking at the future, like I mentioned earlier. It's not looking at the income generated. But the income method is looking at the income generated now and the income that will see come in the future. So it's looking at the present and then the future. That is why the most common method being used is the income. Look at what does it bring into the company and then you'll be able to capitalize and get your value. Well, the cost, you know, most times, for example, International Accounting Standard 38 states that any internally generated IP should not be recognized on balance sheets.
What do you mean by internally generated IP?
You know, we do research. For example, a company that spent money on research and got a particular patent, the International Accounting Standard 38 states that it is internally generated. So the cost of that research will only reflect on the expenditure. It's not going to reflect they are not going to recognize that particular result on the balance sheet. So you can see now that the company will be definitely be undervalued. In this I now, see. Because yes, presently I'm working on that. It's a research on its own that's trying to prove that look, if you discard the internally generated IP, you are saying it's not going to be on the balance sheet. The balance sheet is the summary of the financial statement of a company that can attract an investor or discourage an investor, and we are not putting it there. That is a stock change on that particular company. If an investor buys that, he will buy it, and then the seller will be at the disadvantage because the company will be undervalued. But you know, in some clients, what they did is that they would do a listing or a separate listing of the internally generated IPs without putting it on their balance sheet, which you know is some of the argument that we are trying to look at. So the income approach looks at what the IP is bringing into the company, and then we look at that and then capitalize, and it talks about the presence and the future of that particular IP. Why? The course is only talking about the present, what you have used to build that particular IP. So that makes them to be different.
So thank you very much for shedding light on that, especially when you're talking about the investor angle. I was having a discussion with someone recently, and she was telling me how someone offered her company a very tiny amount of money just to get 50% of their business. When they refused, the person was trying to throw a tantrum and all that. So I think both startups, investors, business owners need to do an IP valuation training to be able to understand the commercial value that their intangible asset actually holds in the market. So what would you now say is the relief from royalty method of IP valuation?
The relief of royalty is one of the aspects that you consider. What that simply means is that you are considering that if we are to hold this particular IP,
okay,
how much royalty will be paying if we are to license it? You understand?
Okay.
For example, now,
yes,
if I say, okay, I'm asking Mr. to license me, and I will be paying royalty every year, maybe 10 naira. And then I now look at it that if we are to research and build in our own,
okay,
how much it costs us? And then we look at it for the space of the year, and then we try to consider which one is better off. So you are using the market, you know, the market activity to value the one that you have in. For example, you have an IP and you are looking at it that, for example, if this IP is licensed, how much royalty will you be paying? So that will make you to be able to ascribe value for that particular IP that you have in-house. That is the principle behind that.
Okay, then. So from everything you've said now, why is it important for businesses in the digital economy to consider IP valuation?
Yes, you know, now we are in digital digital age, and everything is all digital, and it's something that all of us there, because all of them now, they are now summed up to be IP. All what we are doing now is IP, either copyright, we are using the copyright. So we need the valuation of our businesses to be able to ascribe the particular, you know, to deter infringement or copycats. You know, a lot of people now, they do a lot of content creators, they'll be copying here and there and all the rest like that. So if you have a program that is digital, it's better for you to know what the IP associated to it, and then you know the value. So that if there are infringements, you know what to do. You know what the value that you are quoting, and not just a guess, you know, a guess one. That is why it's very important, because of any infringement.
Okay, then. So are there pitfalls to valuing an intangible asset, especially looking at it from the geographical indication, because that was like the last type of IP you mentioned when you were talking about the types and categories of intellectual property. I don't want to delve into copyright trademark. I want people to begin to be aware that we actually have these products within our jurisdiction, and then start to take all of this seriously. So what are the main challenges and pitfalls to value intangible assets such as geographical indication?
You know, I mentioned earlier that the identification is number one.
Yeah.
Openness. You know, these, they are unique. For example, some years, I think about 3 years ago, somebody wanted to register his design. And I said, okay, let me get an IP lawyer to help you to do it. Said, no, it is you that I know. And the person must sign this, must sign. I said, well, if you can't trust a lawyer that want to work with you, then there are issues. So the kind of society we have, we are not yet open up ourselves to that, and that makes information to be limited, makes data to be limited. And this will also dovetail that, you know, patents have a lifespan.
Yes, it does.
If care is not taken, the patent that you thought that you are having, with no time, the time will just
elapse.
And technology is dynamic. As you are thinking, somebody else too is thinking. So if you think that you can just hide your own, then, for example, one of my mentors, we're working on a software, and before they could finish, and in the year after, another version of that particular idea is already in the marketplace. So it's something that we need to open ourselves and be able to trust ourselves a little bit, so that we can have adequate data. Our data bank is still so low. It's not there. It's not yet there.
Okay.
And that makes us to be finding it very tough when it comes to valuation, because it's about data analysis. It's about data analysis, it's about market functions and all the rest that you are trying to interpret and bring into a value. And when you don't have the correct data, that will be a problem. And, you know, the trademark issue too is something, you know, they are related, they are in the same category. But if you have all this in place and is well protected, I believe that the enforcement will be, you know, will change gear in the coming year, so that when you know that if you infringe, there are problems, that will give people the confidence to be able to open up a little bit for, you know, adequate data capturing. And that will help us a lot.
Okay, then. So I don't know how you are going to take this question, because you're not a lawyer, but I know, I trust your expertise that you will give us a very solid answer. So how do you now, Mr. Lekan, conduct reliable and credible IP valuation that complies with relevant laws and regulation, not just in Nigeria, but in other jurisdictions or territories or country?
Okay, like I mentioned earlier, that there's what we call international valuation standard, which that is the unified valuation standard all over the world. And we have a section 210 there, which gives you the guidelines of whatever. And whatever valuation I'm doing is always in line with that particular standard. And that also make me to venture into International Accounting Standard 38, which also talks about the way and manner which you can recognize IP. And also there's what we call International Public Accounting System, IPSAS. It also mentions that one deals with public accounting. You know, government to have their own IPs, and there are ways in which you can recognize the IP in it and then carry out the valuation. So with this bedrock helps me and then be able to also layers and make more research, because it's our research base also layers with other foreign friends for us to be able to compare notes whenever we are carrying out any evaluation on IP.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for giving us an expert view and opinion as it relates to jurisdictional ways to conduct an IP valuation. I think we'll be wrapping up in a few minutes, but what are some of the best practices and tips for managing and maximizing the value of one's intellectual property asset, for instance, IP series?
For example, I will look at these steps. Number one, you have to audit your IP. You audit your IP, then you can do due diligence. After that, you can do your valuation. Then the fourth one, you can decide to commercialize. And commercialization is also in a triangle. You either sell, you do franchise, or you do license. A lot of companies do have moribund IPs that they are no longer used, which, you know, some startup need, and then they can do commercialization with that and still be making their money out of it.
You talk about the dispute resolution aspect of what you do and looking at positioning for the after agreement. I don't know.
Yes, you know, dispute resolution, I did ADR, you know, with WIPO too. And, you know, it is a good area, which I believe valuation is one of necessary in that, especially when it comes to claims. Both parties will be claiming this, claiming that, and then I think the intermediary should be able to lay hand on valuation and be able to decide better for them, which will make the long litigation to end on time. You know, when you have a litigation for 7 years, even the amount you are claiming, inflation will have already eroded it.
You can look at Nigeria as a case.
Yes, that is it. If somebody is owing you maybe last year now, and is still owing you up to now, that money is not what you are getting again. You are not getting the value of what. So if our ADR is well packaged and then where it is effective, then it will make, you know, the industry to be peaceful. Because you know that when you get to ADR, everybody will resolve and then we go. So, and it will make us to be focused instead of going to court today. For example, there's a particular case I'm involved in. They have been postponing it since last year. Up to now, we are filing, they will change it. Now, we're supposed to go on, December 4th. They have already changed it to January now.
Why? Yes.
They said the court went on vacation, the court went on this, the judge went on this, and then they changed it. So you can see that the legal side of it, and that is why in some climb, they always climb up for special courts for IP, so that they can quickly dispose, you know, that particular dispute. But here in Nigeria, we move everything together, and then the same that will sit on IP will be the one that will sit on land matter, and then it will be will also sit on election matter. So we are overwhelmed.
I agree to our next then. Because I know the Federal High Court has the jurisdiction to hear all IP related disputes. And I think, yes, again, with the new introduction of the Arbitration and Mediation Act, and also, hold on. So there's this, the International Mediation Convention, at the Singapore Convention, yeah, resolving disputes. Nigeria
ratified the UN Nations Convention on International Settlement and Agreement resulting from mediation, which IP disputes can be mediated depending on parties, if there's a contract or if they're submitting to mediation, depending on the dispute per se. And I also like to point out the WIPO and the Nigerian Copyright Commission MOU that they signed in terms of resolving IP-related issues. So I would say dispute resolution-wise, we are ready. I think the other angle is positioning for the AFTA agreement, especially in terms of IP valuation, especially in terms of IP valuation for African intangible assets, so we don't lose out to other jurisdictions as we go.
Yes, that's very key.
So I think one of the most important questions for me, and I think for most listeners, will be, where can one get trained to be an IP valuer?
I mentioned before, I said in Nigerian jurisdiction, we have a profession that is called estate solicitors and valuers. They are the only one that carry the valuers, as their appellation.
They are the only body, especially when the financial reporting can source only the two bodies that join the IBS. So they are saddled with training and regulating the activities of valuers, either on tangible assets or intangible assets.
And like I also mentioned that in our own association, we also have a professional a kind of faculty that is saddled with this responsibility of training and retraining IP valuers. We did one of our series in August this year. We always do master's class and also some other classes. So which I believe is a good avenue for us. Like some of us, even personally, some of us, we are also on a WIPO academy. We did a lot of training that regard, so that we can have professional touches and then also be able to domesticate it here in Nigeria for us to have a very IP foundation.
Okay, hope they are affordable. Our economy is not smiling right now, so we can put it in our 2024 budget for the year.
Yeah, they are affordable. Like this year, we did a training with ASA. At times, we bring some experts outside to do training. In September, we did a training with ASA on this particular aspect. I think some years back, we did with some other Indians. So we do, organize trainings like that, that people can come together and learn.
How much?
Well, it all depends on dollar.
dollar. Please,
if we are doing foreign, the last one we did before the dollar skyrocketed, that one is about $100 per head. But we are looking at that next year, by God's grace, we are looking at how we can also try to push in the effect for our people. So by God's grace,
that'll be very low.
We have international, yes.
Please, when the training starts, please, I'm number one on the list, though. Let me go and start saving small money now.
No problem.
So to wrap up now, what would you say are those trends that you've noticed within the last 1 year, and what are you looking forward to in 2024, and how can we reach you, other than listening to you on IP series, how can we reach out to you personally?
Well, okay, by either by email or by my phone number, you can reach out to me. Should I mention
no
the phone number?
No. Please,
that's why I asked. I don't want to group. That's why I asked. Well, if anybody wants to contact me, they can get me through IP series. They will always be available to get in touch with me.
And, yay! I'm the plug
right now. Reach out to me.
Like the challenges we are looking at it that create more awareness for next year. Presently, there are some companies, they are already asking for their intangible asset valuation concerning their awareness and also to get investors into their company. So that makes it very good for us. And then we look at it, that more awareness there will also encourage other people to, so that you don't go into merger without valuation. You know, there's lots
true
of
that.
Things that do happen that people forget about their intangible asset when they want to merge, and that's a lot for them that they are losing. So we are looking at it by God's grace that 2024, the IP space in Nigeria will be more robust than this. By the time that the enforcement on the new copyright law and also all IP policies, both in the higher institutions and then the public domain and among all practitioners, then we are going to have a better year by God's grace.
Amen. Amen. 2024 already looks good. So, yeah, we've come to the end of our discussion for today. Thank you so much, Mr. Lekan, for coming on IP Series to share your expertise with us. I hope you had a great time with us today.
Yes, I really appreciate you. And I also say kudos to you for taking time to spread the gospel. Because it's
yes.
a lot of gospel that you are spreading. A lot of people have lost a lot of money when they don't know that they are carrying a fortune in their hand. You know, they have thrown it away just like that. So I really appreciate you. And I know that the IP series will go places. And it's going to be one of the pillar of IP in Nigeria.
Hallelujah. My 2024 prophecy is here. Thank you, Lord. I receive, I receive, I receive, I receive. But thank you so much. Thank you so much, Mr. Lekan. I really do appreciate you making out the time despite the short notice. Thank you once again. And yeah, so we're done.
Thank you very much, man.
So another episode of the annual IP Series Christmas edition is over. Thank you to all my IP friends for tuning in. Thank you to my new listeners for tuning in. Stay tuned for more episodes on intellectual property. Until next time, goodbye. Take care. Happy holiday. And don't forget to subscribe to my podcast. Rate my podcast. Leave me a comment. I'd love to hear from you. Cheers, guys.